Hello everyone, my name is Elijah. Today we're minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation. I was out the 12th Hour in Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is November 19, 2017, or it's 62-2021. We're going to start our first service today with a song entitled, Nothing But the Blood. Watch and wash away my sin. Nothing but the blood of Yahshua. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Yahshua. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Yahshua. For my pardon, this I see. Nothing but the blood of Yahshua. For my cleansing, this my plea. Nothing but the blood of Yahshua. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Yahshua. Nothing can for sin atone. Nothing but the blood of Yahshua. Not of good that I have done. Nothing but the blood of Yahshua. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Yahshua. This is all my hope and peace. Nothing but the blood of Yahshua. This is all my righteousness. Nothing but the blood of Yahshua. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Yahshua. Sin is a transgression of the law, part 5. Hosea, we're going to start with our memory verse is going to be taken from James 4:17. Therefore unto him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, unto him it is sin. Okay, now let us go to Hosea. Let's read chapter 4. Hear the word of Yahweh, ye children of Israel. For the Yahweh hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of Yahweh in the land. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out and blood touches blood. Therefore shall the land mourn, and every one that dwelleth therein shall languish, with the beast of the field, and with the fowls of the heaven, yea, the fishes of the sea, also shall be taken away. Yet let no man strive, nor reprove another, for thy people are as they that strive with the priest. Therefore shalt thou fall in the day, and the prophet also shall fall with thee in the night, and I will destroy thy mother. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because thou hast rejected knowledge. I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest unto me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy Elohim. I will also forget thy children. Well, this is amazing prophecy here. Gilead sinned in about 2002. The old mother, the old matriarch, she called herself the godmother for Verla Johnson and Ben Roden. She said she was the one that brought them to meet V.T. Hall at the head of the Shepherd Rod in 1946. She says, "I'm their godmother." And I thought, that's awful strange that she would take me aside and tell me all these things. She was the mother of the wife of Verla Johnson, Laura Mae Johnson. They call her the old matriarch, the godmother. She felt like that she was the owner of Gilead Center, and she felt like she was the owner of her family. Even after they're grown and married and got children of their own, she still felt like she was in charge and in control. And she had no respect for men. Laura Mae Johnson's mother had no respect for men. She hated men. She had two husbands in her life, and her second husband was an alcoholic. And so she learned to hate men, and maybe rightfully so because of her life, but nevertheless, she fits into this prophecy that I just read right here, because it says in Hosea 4:6, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." It says, "My people." Well, I know Gilead Center and their leader, starting with their mother, were destroyed. Because Miss Olson died in a nursing home at the end of the Seventh-day Sabbath and the beginning of the Pentecost Sabbath, she died right at the evening of those two evenings in a nursing home with nobody around her. She just was sitting there, and all of a sudden she just tilted over and died. It says there in Hosea 4:5, "Therefore shalt thou fall in the day, and the prophet also shall fall with thee in the night, and I will destroy thy mother." Now, isn't this strange? Because this is exactly what happened at Gilead Center. The mother was destroyed. The prophet, he fell. Also, shall fall with thee in the night, and I will destroy thy mother. My people, Israel, Judah, are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because thou hast rejected knowledge. He said it wasn't because you rejected me. He said because you rejected knowledge. I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest unto me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy Elohim. I will also forget thy children. As they were increased, so they sinned against me. Therefore will I change their glory into shame. They eat up the sin of my people, and they set their heart on their iniquity. And there shall be like people, like priests, and I will punish them for their ways and reward them their doing. This is the most amazing thing. Everything that happens to Yahweh's people in the past and in the future is always recorded in the scriptures. It's always there. You'll always find it. "For they shall eat and not have enough. They shall commit whoredom and shall not increase, because they have left off to take heed unto the Yahweh. Whoredom and wine and new wine take away the heart." Whoredom and wine and new wine take away the heart. "My people ask counsel at their stocks," S-T-O-C-K-S, "and their staff declareth unto them, for the spirit of whoredoms has caused them to err." and they have gone a horn from under their Elohim. They sacrifice upon the tops of the mountains and burn incense upon the hill, under oaks and poplars and elms, because the shadow thereof is good. Therefore your daughters shall commit whoredom, and your spouses shall commit adultery. I will not punish your daughters when they commit whoredom, nor your spouses when they commit adultery, for themselves are separated with whores, and they sacrifice with harlots. Therefore the people that doth not understand shall fall. Does that word understand? Now, knowledge, understanding, wisdom. Though thou, Israel, play the harlot, yet let not Judah offend. And come not ye unto Gilgal, neither go ye up to Bethaven, nor swear, Yahweh liveth. For Israel slideth back as a backsliding heifer. Now the Yahweh will treat them as a lamb and a large place. Ephraim is joined to idols. Oh my, this is the 10 tribes up in the north. Here is Samaria with their king Jeroboam. Let him alone. Their drink is sour. They have committed whoredom continually. Her rulers with shame do love give ye. The wind hath bound her up in her wings, and they shall be ashamed because of their sacrifices. Okay, now that's a pretty amazing that this is exactly of what happened with all of Adventism. Yahweh has nursed and brought up her children, and he has brought them to a new place in time with new identity. And they are called Seventh-day Adventists, spiritual Israel of today. And so at least we know where Israel is at today, or where they have been. But now Yahweh says here in Hosea chapter 5, hear ye this, O priest, and hearken, ye house of Israel. Now what is he talking about, priest? Well, back in the Old Testament, it was the priest that offered the sacrifices for people that confessed their sins. That's who the priests were back then. And so if you go to Joel 2:15, which was back then in the Old Testament, it reads, blow ye the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly. Gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children, and those that suck the breasts. Let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber, and the bride out of her closet. Let the priest, comma, the ministers of the Yahweh, weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare thy people, O Yahweh, and give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their Elohim? Then will the Yahweh be jealous for his land and pity his people. When will he do that? When the priests, the ministers of Yahweh, weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare thy people, O Yahweh, and give not thine heritage to reproach. When the priest rises up to do this, the ministers. Now, Jeremiah talks about this. Jeremiah talks about these pastors. Well, they're ministers, aren't they? And in Jeremiah 23, it says the first one, woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith Yahweh. Yeah. Therefore thus saith Yahweh, Elohim of Israel, against the pastors, that's your priests, that's your ministers. Rhodes Johnson was one of them, Ben Roden was one of them, V.T. Holliff was one of them, Helen G. White was one of them. Is he talking about, which pastures is he talking about? He's talking about the ones that scatter the sheep of his pasture. It says in Jeremiah 23:2, you have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doing, saith Yahweh. And I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries whither I have driven them, and will bring them again unto their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. And I will set up shepherds over them, which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith Yahweh. Behold, the days come, saith Yahweh, that I will raise unto thee David a righteous branch, in other words, a purified congregation of Israel. And a king shall reign and prosper. And a king, not the king Yeshua, the Messiah, my son, in other words, this is Yahweh talking here, but he said a king that's going to sit upon the throne of David, a descendant of David, of the seed of David, and he shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. Earth in prophecy is the United States. In his days, Judah shall be saved and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name whereby he shall be called Yeshua or righteousness. This is his name. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith Yahweh, that they shall no more say the Yahweh liveth, which brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. But the Yeshua liveth, which brought up and which led the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country, and from all countries whither I had driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land. Now how is this shepherd, this a king, how is he going to do this? He's going to do it by the Spirit, through the word that is written already, through the promises, through the prophecies unfolding at their appointed time. By obeying the command to preach the word in season and out of season. To preach what he tells you to preach or teach. Alright? Now, let's go back now to Hosea chapter 5. Hear ye this, O priest, that is the ministers there in Joel 2:17, it says, let the priest, the minister of Yahweh, weep between the porch and the altar. So, okay, hear ye this, O ye priests, the ministers, and hearken ye house of Israel, and give ye ear, O house of the king, O house of the king, for judgment is towards you, because you have been a snare on Mizpah, and a net spread upon Tabor. Okay, but what is this Mizpah? You have been a snare on Mizpah, M-I-Z-P-A-H. What is Mizpah? And the revolters are profound to make slaughter, though I have been a rebuker of them all. I know Ephraim, and Israel is not hid from me. For now, O Ephraim, thou committest whoredom, and Israel is defiled. He will not frame their doings. To turn unto their Elohim, for the spirit of the whoredoms is in the midst of them, and they have not known the Yahweh. And the pride of Israel doth testify to his face. Therefore shall Israel and Ephraim fall in their iniquity. Judah also shall fall with them. As Judah is a lawgiver, okay, they shall go with their flocks and with their herds to seek the Yahweh, but they shall not find him. He hath withdrawn himself from them. They have dealt treacherously against Yahweh, for they have begotten strange children. Now shall a moth and now shall a month devour them with their portion. Blow ye the cornet in Gibeah, and the trumpet in Ramah. Cry aloud at Bethaven after thee, O Benjamin. Ephraim shall be desolate in the day of the rebuke. Among the tribes of Israel have I made known that which shall surely be. The princes of Judah were like them that removed the bound. Okay, so now, we're talking about the princes of Judah. We're talking about Gilead Center. The last bastion for Judah today, the sinful kingdom, Amos 9, sinful kingdom, was Judah at Gilead Center from 1970-2003. The princes of Judah were like them that removed the bound. Therefore I will pour out my wrath upon them like water. Ephraim is oppressed and broken in judgment because he willingly walked after the commandment. Therefore will I be unto Ephraim as a moth, and unto the house of Judah as rottenness. When Ephraim saw his sickness and Judah saw his wound, then went Ephraim to the Assyrian and sent to King Jared, yet could not he not heal you, nor cure you of your wound. For I will be unto Ephraim as a lion and as a young lion unto the house of Judah. I will tear and go away. I will take away, and none shall rescue him. I will go and return unto my place till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face and their affliction. They will seek me early. In their affliction they will seek me early. Well, I know Gilead Center was in affliction. She was being afflicted sore there in 2002. But yet, they didn't just turn to Yeshua and seek him. For one thing, they didn't call him Yeshua. They didn't call the Father Yahweh Elohim. They called him God and Lord and Jesus. So that's the one that they turned to. They're heathen gods. And so, no wonder. It says, I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face. In their affliction, they will seek me early. Alright, now, let's go right on into Hosea chapter 6. Come and let us return unto Yahweh. For he hath torn, and he will heal us. He hath smitten, and he will bind us up. But this is where we're at today. I'm appealing to the house of David today. Now, Zion in the 12th hour, and at the 12th hour. I'm appealing to our people that are called by Yahshua's name. Africa, Jeff White, David number 2, according to the scriptures. This is for you as well. This is for the whole remnant around the world. I'm calling for all the leaders of Judah today to rise up and be counted. Come and let us return unto the Yahshua, for he has torn and he will heal us. This is what we're needing. We're needing healing. Okay. After 2 days will he revive us, and the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Yahweh. His going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth. O Ephraim, what shall I do unto thee? O Judah, what shall I do unto thee? For your goodness is as a morning cloud, and as the early dew it goeth away. Therefore have I hewed them by the prophets. I have slain them by the words of my mouth, and thy judgments are as the light that goeth forth. Okay, so now what happened at Gilead Center? I witnessed it for 33 years. someone there was present there, and more notably Elijah David, and he was there not knowing who he was at the beginning until at the very end. He didn't realize who he really was until the very end. Okay, so I didn't realize that I was being hewed by the prophets. Because for the first time I met a real live prophet to me in 1970, Brother Johnson. That was the most amazing thing that I ever encountered as an Adventist, was to actually meet a real live living prophet with inspiration. I just thought, as I'd been taught, that Ellen G. White was the last prophet and she's dead and gone, been gone forever, and that we had no more living prophets in our midst and that we wouldn't have any more. Ever. And so I just was led to believe that. And naturally, when the Holy Spirit convinced me that I had met a true living prophet in Israel in 1970, that's when my whole world changed. My whole life changed. And to think that he called me to be associated with someone that had inspiration on the very subjects that the Holy Spirit's been encouraging me to pursue. And that was the subject of the 144,000. And lo and behold, I met this prophet. And that was his number one subject, the 144,000. So that's all it took for me to be convinced that I had found the pearl of great price. All in one place at one time. A living prophet with inspiration on the very subject, the first and foremost subject in my heart was about the 144,000. And lo and behold, I found it. And so that's the reason why I'm still here today. Okay? It says in Hosea 6, verse 6, "For I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of Yahweh more than burnt offerings. But they, like men, have transgressed the covenant. They have, they dealt treacherously against me. Yet it is the city of them that work iniquity, and is polluted with blood." Now, did you get that? Gilead. Now, isn't this amazing? One day, Brother Johnson came to us. He said, "Well, guess what? Guess what our center's name is going to be? It's going to be called Gilead Center." I said, "Well, where'd you get that information?" Well, he said, right there in Micah 7. And he said, He said, "Our name is Gilead Center." Micah 7, 14, it says, "Feed thy people with thy rod, the flock of thine heritage, which dwell solitarily in the wood in the midst of Carmel. Let them feed in Bashan and Gilead as in the days of old." Well, he knew, according to Jehoshaphat, that Bashan was the first feeding pasture for the Seventh-day Adventists. He knew that. He knew that Carmel was what was named the Shepherd Rod, and that they had their location at Waco. And so, naturally, Brother Johnson said, "Well, it only one name left to feed from, and that is Gilead, and that's who we are." And so I said, "Oh, well, wonderful! This is great inspiration coming right out of the Scriptures." So now, Hosea says 6, verse 8, it says, "Gilead is a city of them that work iniquity and is polluted with blood." Oh, I said, "Oh my goodness. That's talking about us here at Gilead Center in Kermit, Texas." Because that's exactly what happened there. Because our leaders, Brother Johnson and company, were practicing iniquity. Well, this word iniquity is a very important word to understand and take it to heart, because There it says in Psalm 32, and what does it say? Let's go read it. David talks about this iniquity. It says, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. That's verse 1. Whose sin is covered. Now, our subject is sin is a transgression of the law. So here we are again. It says in Psalm 32:2, blessed is the man unto whom Yeshua, or the Yahweh the Father, imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. What's going on here? In whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. See, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Yahweh, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. In other words, iniquity means he forgave me of the practicing of open sin. And what was I doing? Up until Nathan the prophet come to David, David was practicing open sin. He was living in adultery with Bathsheba. He killed her husband, Uriah the Hittite. And after he killed Uriah the Hittite, he was no longer considered living in adultery because Uriah was dead. But nevertheless, he was very smug in believing that everything was okay because he didn't know what sin was anymore. So now David is real excited about the fact that Yahweh sent a prophet to him to open his eyes unto his true condition. And when he got his eyes open, he acknowledged it. He repented of it. So it says right there in Psalm 32, verse 6, for this shall every one that is righteous pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found, surely. In the floods of the great waters, they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place, thou shalt preserve me from the trouble, thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be ye not as a horse or as a mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall be unto the wicked, but he that trusts in the Yeshua, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Yeshua, and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for the joy, all ye that are upright in heart. Only those that are upright in heart, you're admonished to rejoice and shout for the joy. All those that are upright in heart. If you can't rejoice and shout in joy, and shout for the joy, then it's because you're not upright in heart. Because you have no knowledge of how to do it. All right, now. It's an amazing thing that comes to my mind at this time, just here there in Philippians 2:5. I'm going to go and try to turn it up real quickly and read that in Philippians 2:5. And here it is. It says that, let this mind be in you, which was also in the Yahshua Messiah, who being in the form of the Father, and it's talking about thought it not robbery to be equal with the Father, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being formed in fashion as a man, He humbled himself and became obedient unto the death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore Yahweh also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of the Yahshua every knee should bow, of the things in heaven, and things in the earth, and things under the earth. What does it mean, things under the earth? Alright? You drill down to this earth, if you could do it, you could go 800 miles. And you'd come to an open space in the earth, in the center of the earth. And you can go read about it on the internet. It's talking about the hollow earth. They have all multitudes of things written on that, explaining the planet inside of this earth. There's a sun that rotates in the center of this earth. It's like the sun rotating in our orbit, atmosphere. And you have mountains, you have rivers, you have oceans. You have the Atlantic Ocean, the Pacific Ocean, that flows inside the earth just like it flows on top of the earth. There's an 800-mile thick crust of solid matter between the two oceans there. The Atlantic Ocean and the Pacific Ocean. Okay? So that is what he's talking about. And there are people that live down there inside the earth. I don't know who they are, but they are living species down there inside the earth. I know Satan. I say I know. It's assumed that those flying saucers flying in and out of the openings of the earth, of the North Pole and the South Pole, they go in to those openings, and they have flying saucer bases down there. They've already had people going down there and taking pictures of it. And it's a whole other world, folks, inside of this planet. But that's what it's talking about when it says under the earth. Let's go back now to Hosea. Let's read now, start with Hosea chapter 7, verse 1. When I would have healed Israel, then the iniquity of Ephraim was discovered. In other words, when I would have healed Israel, then the sin of Ephraim was discovered. So iniquity is the same thing as sin. It means the same thing. And the wickedness of Samaria is where they commit falsehood. And the thief cometh in, and the troop of the robbers spoileth without. And they consider not in their hearts that I remembered all their wickedness. Now their own doings have beset them about. They are before my face. They make the king glad with their wickedness and the princes with their lies. They are all adulterers as an overheated by the baker. They are all adulterers as an oven heated by the baker, who ceases from raising after he hath kneaded the dough until it be leavened. And the day of our king, the princes have made him sick with the bottles of wine. He stretched out his hand with the scorners. For they have made ready their heart like an oven. Whilst they lie in wait, their baker sleepeth all the night. In the morning it burneth as a flaming fire. They are all hot as an oven and have devoured their judges. All their kings are fallen. There is none among them that calleth unto me. It's talking about the kings of the northern 10 tribes of Israel. And today that would translate into the Seventh-day Adventist Church. This is talking about the Seventh-day Adventist Church. All their kings are fallen. All of the ministers of the Adventist Church are fallen. there is none among them that calleth unto me. And the only ones I know of that could be classified as kings today would be the Davidian Seventh-day Adventist, starting with the shepherd Rod, V.T. Hollop. He could be classified as a king upon David's throne, tribe of Judah, the lawgiver. And then his successor, Ben Roden, also had himself crowned King David. He had a mock throne built at his place, in his temple. And he sat upon that throne. And he had himself a crown put on his head. He had himself crowned king and typical King David. So he knew the prophecies well enough to know that it's time for this King David to come forth today. All their kings are fallen, so Ben Roden fell. Brother Johnson took his place. Brother Johnson fell. So Brother Johnson, prophecy showed where he was a king, all right. He was King Esau. He was King Ahab. He was King Saul. He had at least three identities of a king that had gone before him. King Saul, King Ahab, and King Esau. There is none among them that calleth unto me. And that's what it says in Hosea 7:7. It says, Ephraim, he hath mixed himself among the people of Ephraim, is a cake not turned. Strangers have devoured his strength, and he knoweth it not. Yea, gray hairs are here and there upon him, yet he knoweth not. Verse 10, And the pride of Israel testifieth to his face, and they do not return to the Yahweh, the Elohim, nor seek him for all this. Ephraim also is like a silly dove without a heart. They call to Egypt, they go to Assyria. When they shall go, I will spread my net upon them. I will bring them down as the fowls of the heaven. I will chastise them as their congregation hath heard. Woe unto them, for they have fled from me. Destruction unto them, because they have transgressed against me. Though I have redeemed them, yet they have spoken lies against me. And they have cried unto me with their heart, when they howled upon their beds. They assemble themselves for corn and wine, and they rebel against me. Though I have bound and strengthened their arms, yet do they imagine mischief against me. They return, but not to the Most High. They are like a deceitful bow. Their princes shall fall by the sword for the rage of their tongue. This shall be their derision in the land of Egypt. Set the trumpet to thy mouth. He shall come as an eagle, okay, against the house of Yahweh, because they have transgressed my covenant and trespassed against my law. This is Hosea chapter 8, verse 1. Verse 2, Israel shall cry unto me, my Elohim, we know thee. Israel hath cast off the thing that is good, the enemy shall pursue him. They have set up kings, but not by me. They have made princesses, and I knew it not. Of their silver and their gold have they made them idols, and that they may be cut off. Thy calf, O Samaria, hath cast thee off. Mine anger is kindled against them. How long will it be ere they attain unto innocency? For from Israel was it also. The workman made it. Therefore it is not Yahweh. It is not the Yahweh. But the calf of Samaria shall be broken in pieces. For they have sown the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind. It hath no stalk. The bud shall yield no meal. If so be it yield, the stranger shall swallow it up. Israel is swallowed up. Now shall they be among the Gentiles as a vessel wherein is no pleasure. For they are gone up to Assyria as a wild ass alone by himself. Ephraim hath hard lovers. Yea, though they have heard among the nations, now will I gather them, and they shall sorrow a little for the burden of the king of the princes, because Ephraim hath made many altars to sin. Remember this word sin. This is a one word name of our series that we're dealing with here. It says, altars shall be unto him to sin. Because Ephraim, the capital of the 10 tribes of Israel, Ephraim is the son of Joseph, okay, at Samaria, I have written to him the great things of my law. See, I have written unto him the great things of my law, but they were counted as a strange thing. They sacrifice flesh for the sacrifices of mine offerings, and eat it, but the Yahweh accepted them not. Now will he remember their iniquity, and visit their sins. They shall return unto Egypt. This is exactly what happened to Gilead sinner. It says, for Israel hath forgotten his maker, and buildeth temples, and Judah hath multiplied fenced cities, but I will send a fire upon his cities, and it shall devour the palaces thereof. That's the end of Hosea chapter 8. Now, I want to read to you here in Psalm 68 at this point right now. Psalm chapter 68. It says in verse 1, let Yahweh arise, let his enemies be scattered. Let them also that hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melteth before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of the Yahshua, the Son. But let the righteous be glad, let them rejoice before Yahweh, yea, let them exceedingly rejoice. Sing unto the Yahweh, sing praises unto his name. Extol him that rideth upon the heavens by his name Yah. Y-A-H. So he spelled it J-A-H here, but it's actually Y-A-H. Yah. And rejoice before him. That's talking about the Father. A father of the fatherless and a judge of the widows is the Yahweh in his holy habitation. Where is Yahweh, the Father's holy habitation? It's in the most holy place, in the sanctuary, in the temple. David built him a house for it. Solomon actually built the house that David proposed. Okay. It says, Yahweh says the solitary and the family. He bringeth out those which are bound with the chains, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. O Yahweh, when thou wentest forth before thy people, when thou didst march through the wilderness, Selah, the earth shook, the heavens also dropped at the presence of the Yahweh. Even Sinai itself was moved at the presence of the Yahweh of the Israel. Thou, O Yahweh, didst send a plentiful rain, whereby thou didst confirm of thine inheritance when it was weary. Well, I just read in Hosea a while ago that he sent the former and the latter rain, so that is plentiful rain. Thy congregation hath dwelt therein. Thou, O Yahweh, hast prepared of thy goodness for the poor. The Yahweh gave the word. Great was the company of those that published it. Kings of armies did flee apace, and she that tarried at home divided the spoil. Though she have lain among the pots, yet shall she be as the wings of a dove, covered with the silver, and her feathers with the yellow gold. When the Almighty, this is talking about Yahweh the Father, scattered kings in it, it was white as snow and salmon. The hill of the Yahweh is as the hill of the Bashan, and high hill as the hill of the Bashan. What hill is this? This is the hill of Mount Zion at the 12th hour, because Bashan is the high hill that represents the Adventist Church with Ellen G. White and the first feeding pasture from 1850 to 1890, a 40-year period. And Yahweh says now, today, he says, well, what about the Carmel, Mount Carmel? Yeah, that's why it's called Mount Carmel. It's a mountain. But it's a smaller hill than Bashan. What about Mount Gilead, where I was at for 33 years? It's called a mountain. But you know, Brother Johnson had a vision one day, just walking along, came into his mind, and he hurriedly went to the house and drew the picture of it. He saw four large mountains. He saw one suspended in the heavens. He saw three of them in a row on the ground, like a chain link mountain. But the first mountain, he called it Bashan. He knew what it represented, the Adventist Church. The second one he called Carmel. And the third mountain he drew, he called it Gilead. Well, each mountain, one was smaller than the other. Bashan was a large mountain, and Brother Johnson drew Carmel, which was a smaller mountain, and he drew Gilead, which was even a smaller mountain. Okay, and so here we have the prophecy in Psalm 68:15. It says, the hill of Yahweh is as the hill of Bashan, and a high hill as the hill of Bashan. We know that Bashan, Carmel, and Gilead don't exist anymore. They've been planed off. So what is this high hill then, he said, that is as high as the hill of Bashan? Actually, the hill of Bashan was represented also by Mount Carmel and Mount Gilead. That's the reason why it was called a high hill. Because Mount Carmel and Mount Gilead was just her daughters. They all represented one mountain, the Seventh-day Adventist mountain Bashan. So, when that mountain was planed off, there went all three of those mountains, Bashan, Carmel, and Gilead. Okay, that's in Zechariah 4:7. That mountain was planed off. That means when it was planed off, that meant all three of those mountains went together. And so what is he talking about, this here hill of Yahweh is as the hill of Bashan and high hill? Well, he's talking about this hill of Mount Zion as the 12th hour. This hill where the kingly polished crown is placed. Okay. So now, we're getting close to the end of our study. So it says in Psalm 68:16, why leap ye high hills? This is the hill which Yahweh desires to dwell in, yet he will dwell in it forever. So why are you leaping, ye high hills, Bashan, Carmel, and Gilead? They're still leaping today. Even though spiritually they've been planed off, they're no longer anything to be dealt with as far as fulfilling prophecy. They've already unfulfilled their part. But it says Yahweh's going to dwell in this Mount Zion forever. Why is he going to dwell in it forever? All you got to do is go read about the covenant he made with David. And I'm going to go read it to you. Let's close this service with the reading of 1 Chronicles chapter 17. Now, it came to pass as David sat in his house that David said unto Nathan the prophet, lo, I dwell in a house of cedars. But the ark of the covenant of the Yahweh remaineth under curtains. Then Nathan said unto David, do all that is in thine heart, for Yahweh is with thee. And it came to pass the same night that the word of Yahweh came unto Nathan, saying, go and tell David my servant, thus saith Yahweh, thou shalt not build me an house to dwell in, for I have not dwelt in a house since the day that I brought up Israel unto this day, but have gone from tent to tent, and from tabernacle to tabernacle, wheresoever I have walked with all Israel. Spake I a word unto any of the judges of Israel, whom I command to feed my people, saying, why have you not built me an house of cedars? Now therefore thus shalt thou say unto my servant David, thus saith Yahshua of the host. This is Yahshua the son talking. I took thee from the sheep cote, even from following the sheep, that thou shouldest be ruler over my people Israel. And I have been with thee whithersoever thou hast walked, and have cut off all thine enemies from before thee, and have made thee a name like the name of the great men that are in the earth. Also I will ordain a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, and they shall dwell in their place, and shall be moved no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness waste them any more as at the beginning. And since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, moreover, I will subdue all thine enemies. Furthermore, I tell thee that the Yahweh will build thee an house. And it shall come to pass, when thy days be expired, that thou must be a gold to be with thy fathers, that I will raise up thy seed after thee, which shall be of thy sons, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build me an house, and I will establish his throne forever. Now do you see why Yahweh said that he's going to dwell on this hill forever? He said, why leap ye high hills? This is a hill that Yahweh desires to dwell in, yet he will dwell in it forever. This is talking about Yahshua, the Son, is also saying this. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. This is 1 Chronicles 17, verse 13. And I will not take my mercy away from him, as I took it from him that was before thee. In other words, he took it from King Saul. He took it from Brother Johnson, an antipical King Saul. But I will settle him in mine house and in my kingdom forever. So, Yahweh has taken this antipical David, and he has settled him in this house forever. And his throne shall be established forevermore. According to all these words and according to all this vision, so did Nathan speak unto the David. And David the king came and sat before the Yahweh and said, who am I, O Yahweh Elohim? And what is mine house that thou hast brought me hitherto? And yet this was a small thing in thine eyes, O Yahweh, for thou hast also spoken of thy servant's house for a great while to come, and hast regarded me according unto the estate of a man of high degree, O Yahweh Elohim. What can David speak more unto thee for the honor of thy servant? For thou knowest of thy servant, O Yahweh, for thy servant's sake, and according unto thine own heart, hast thou done all this greatness in making known all these great things. O Yahweh, there is none like thee, and neither is there any Elohim beside thee, according to all that we have heard with our ears. And what one nation in the earth is like thy people Israel, whom Yahweh went to redeem unto his own people, to make thee a name of greatness and terribleness, by driving out nations from before thy people, whom thou hast redeemed out of Egypt? For thy people Israel didst thou make thine own people forever, and thou, Yahweh, becamest their Elohim. Therefore now, Yahweh, let the thing that thou hast spoken concerning thy servant and concerning his house be established forever, and do as thou hast said. That's why we're here today, folks. Rejoice, Brother David, to Africa, rejoice. This is his... also for you, let it be even be established that thy name may be magnified forever since. Yahshua the host is the king of Israel, even as Yahweh unto Israel. He is even as the king unto Israel. And let the house of David, thy servant, be established before thee, before Yahshua, the Yahshua of the host. For thou, O my Elohim, hast told thy servant that thou wilt build him a house. Therefore thy servant hath found in his heart to pray before thee. And now, Yahweh, thou art Elohim, and hast promised this goodness unto thy servant. Now therefore let it please thee to bless the house of thy servant, that it may be before thee forever. For thou blessest, O Yahweh, and it shall be blessed forever. That's why we're here today, because this house is blessed forever. This brings us to the status hour. Contact us at the 11th hour call. It's number 11. Click on our audio archive. We're going to close now with a song. Somebody bigger than you and I.
Who made the mountain? Who made the tree? Who made the river flow to the sea? And who hung the moon in the starry sky? Somebody bigger than you and I. Who makes the flowers bloom in the spring? Who writes the song for the robin to sing? And who sends the rain when the earth is dry? Somebody bigger than you and I. He lights the way when the road is long, keeps you company, with love to guide you. He walks beside you, just like he walks with me. And I am weary, filled with despair. Who gives me courage to go on from there? And who gives me faith that will never die? Somebody bigger